Okay, let's add to it.
Brother Mark.
Yes.
It's Brother Paul.
Oh, Paul, good to see you, Paul.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate all the prayers and all the support in that arena. I just wanted to go back to this word sanctuary, because it's more than a stop sign. Sanctuary is a place that's set aside, even like a chapel. It's a place that's set aside for holiness, for worship of God. And so God allows for us to have a place in our soul where we can meet with Him. And it's a quiet place. It's the secret place of the Most High. And there is the ability of a man, or in the case of what we were reading, Heliel, to destroy the sanctuary because of hardness of heart, because of not wanting to listen to our conscience, because of disobeying what the Lord tells us to do, having an unwillingness to repent, and just holding stubbornly to our pride. There's a word, obdurate, obdurate. If a person is obdurate, somebody comes to them and tells them the truth, and they choose steadfastly with a hardened heart to reject the truth and stand fast in whatever lie they're walking in. And that destroys the sanctuaries. And so this is what happened with Heliel. He destroyed the places where he ought to have a quiet interaction with God. And so we have to be careful to be sensitive, to know where our place of sanctuary with God is, and to allow for the Spirit of God to come in and to minister to us, and then to respond to the I guess I could say the gentle tugging of Holy Spirit. And so anyway, this word sanctuary is a very important word, because each one of us has sanctuaries, has places of rest in God, and we need to acculture those, because everything that goes on in the world is working to destroy the sanctuaries, is working to destroy our sensitivity to that secret place of the Most High. Amen.
Well, thank you, Paul. That's very helpful.
Sure.
And as you're speaking, I'm remembering the time 22 years ago when I was where you are. And I can very much identify with, I would say that God was giving me one of those times of sanctuary with Him. It was a time that I was hearing more clearly of the Spirit than I had ever heard before.
Yeah, amen.
And
Amen.
breaking my pride too, by the way. I had to
Yeah.
repent of that.
There you go. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. That was good to expound on that word.
I had a few little things stick out to me from today. The first one was, I noticed how when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were talking to the king, how respectful they were. Like, oh, king, and what came to my mind was the scripture that says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. I have sometimes how a person reacts to me or talks to me or whatever controls how I talk back to them. And we shouldn't do that. We have to stay just calm and respectful and polite and you know, just I've seen an irate person just absolutely melt from a gentle answer. And then also I wanted to comment just a little bit on music. You know, I suppose you've all seen concerts or whatever, things like that opera singer that's blind. I think his name is Botticelli or something along that line. Anyway, you see these people in the audience just absolutely just gone in worship. You know, just you can just see it in their face and everything, you know. And the power of music. I can confess that I've heard people sing that gave me the feeling of dropping to my knees and worshiping. It's that powerful. And I know as I was growing up, I really loved rock and roll. And that stuff etched such a deep track in my soul. To this day, I have to be really careful of it. It just, you know, really, it really moves me. And I just, you know, music is so powerful. I'm not surprised that that was Satan's calling card, that you know, he was so musically inclined. And so I just want to caution, particularly the young people, to really be careful what music you listen to, because there's a lot of power in it. And then lastly, Mark was talking about what Satan's merchandising was. And I think the key that really gave it away was the word trafficking. The word trafficking is used for merchandising in something that you ought not to be merchandising in, like drug trafficking and sex trafficking and that kind of a thing. And so this trafficking, and I believe what Satan's merchandising was in the souls of men. You know, he's buying, selling, destroying, affecting, whatever word you want to throw out there. He's trafficking in the souls of men. And that's nobody's business but God's business. And so I think that's what his main merchandising was, and one of the reasons why he's being thrown out and destroyed. Okay, amen.
You know, speaking of worshiping the idols, that even the world uses the term idol now of a man or a woman. I have not watched any of these concerts, but I remember seeing a video or movie or something of when Elvis, how many of you remember Elvis? Way back in our, you know, youth, Elvis on the stage in some auditorium, and these girls were just going gaga. I mean, they were going wild, screaming, and just uncontrollable. And I wondered, what in the world has gotten into these people? So it's worship, and the world properly does use the term idol for these people. Now, I've noticed they're bringing these people in, these kind of people they're bringing in to today, I believe, is the big football game. What is it again? The Super Bowl. They're making a big show of it. They're bringing idols, and people are going it to worship. Somebody told me that some of the tickets are going for $4,000. Did you hear that, Mike? $4,000 to go and worship at the golden image. Well, somebody else has something to share here.
Did you hear what I said about Elvis? I wasn't sure if I was unmuted.
No, you were muted. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. I said you mentioned Elvis. When I was in high school, one of my friend's sisters almost committed suicide the day Elvis died.
Oh, my.
Mark, just to clarify what you're saying about the Super Bowl ticket, according to Ticketmaster, the most expensive Super Bowl ticket available is listed for $24,995.
Oh, my God. You could buy a brand new car for that price.
Little over your 4,000.
You're behind the times on car buying, Mark.
Okay, a used car. Mike, I only buy used cars.
Today you can get the four tires for about $24,000.
My the first house I bought was less than that.
Yeah, can you believe I built my own house for the first time in 1978, and I borrowed $28,000 and built that whole house. And you know what my mortgage payment was? $300 a month.
You know, I kind of wonder, it makes me wonder as I'm reading about in the book of Daniel about old Nebuchadnezzar. You know, historically, he was the head of gold. He was the best. I mean, of the pagan kings, he was tops. God considered him the top. Not the guy with the silver, not the bronze, you know. Not the Roman Caesars, but Nebuchadnezzar. And what was it? I guess we can speculate. What was it that God? Why did God say, "I'm going to go after him"? I'm going to prove that I can do anything, that I can make any man. If I focus on it, I can make any man, I can bring him down, and I can make him acknowledge that I am God. Why did God choose Nebuchadnezzar? He didn't do it to Belshazzar. And Belshazzar, according to Daniel, was just as proud and arrogant and haughty as any of them. Amen. Anything else to share here today? Pardon? What'd you say? Well, have we come to the end?
Kevin just said he wanted to say thanks for all the prayer for him.
All right. And God is answering prayer for Kevin. See, brethren, sometimes we don't get the answer immediately. Nebuchadnezzar didn't get his answer. He waited for 12 months until Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged that he thought he was the top guy, that he did it all himself. Twelve months he waited, and that prophecy came to pass. Well, amen. No more wisdom from the brethren? Well, then I guess we might as well say adieu. Adieu, my friend, adieu.
Ciao, adieu.
Is that French? Adieu?
God bless you.
Bye.
Bless you all.
Bless you all.
Thank you for the good blessing being around the brethren today.
Amen. Amen. Amen.